This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And now Exodus chapter 29, verses 43 to 46. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting at the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God.
We're going to read two passages. The first one is in Matthew chapter 1, from verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The second passage is in Revelation, chapter 21, from verse 1 to 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. From the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned from her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Amen.
Well, good evening. Thank you all for coming. Just now we're going to spend a few moments thinking about the idea of God being with us. If you are young enough, I should say, to have come along to our YF, our youth Bible studies, our youth group, you will have heard this already before. But in YF, we've started a series looking at some of the titles that Jesus was given or has been given around the time of the Advent or the Nativity period. One of those titles, and one that I had to prepare a study for, was the title of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, a few of the readings that we've read tonight kind of we'll be touching on and sort of drawing out this theme. The core and one I hope to sort of center on is that one that we read from Matthew and in chapter 1. And hopefully we can try and appreciate the fullness of this theme and appreciate how the magnitude of it when we come in and read this passage here in the beginning of our New Testament. It says there in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. There's two reasons I think that are given to us in this passage for the events that are taking place here. The first there, it says, for you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the second there is verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The prophet there in question is Isaiah. And there quoted is from Isaiah 7:14. But this idea of God being with us, being with his people, extends much further back than Isaiah, but right to the very beginning. We read there in our Bibles from Genesis, and we read from Genesis 3, which is best known for the narrative surrounding the fall, the time when Adam and Eve in the garden sin and are separated from God. But I think what is interesting to note, and what I have always appreciated or liked about that passage, is the first half of verse 8. If you were to turn back with me to chapter 3 in Genesis and verse 8, you will see it says this: "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden." You can see there that even in the very beginning, the purpose, the goal, the origin, the design for us was to be with God, to be walking with him, to have an intimacy and a closeness that I think we struggle to really comprehend. To think of God being walking, for them to be able to hear him in the garden, that is what we were made for. That is where we should be, but it of course is not where we are. But that is the one of these central and one of the foundational themes of our Bibles and of all of Scripture, is this idea of God being with us. And it starts off so early on as Genesis chapter 3, that we should be walking, or that Adam and Eve should have been walking. Now, of course, when we read that passage in its entirety, in its context, we see then the second half of that verse, and it comes to us and it says, in chapter 3, verse 8, the second half, "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God." Of course, they hide themselves because of their sin. They hide themselves because they have profaned, because they have disobeyed God. And now they feel their guilt, they feel their shame, and so now they're separated. And we, till this very day, are cursed in the same way. We are separated from the God whom we were made for, from the God whom we were made to be with. We see that as we move forward a few thousand years of history, we reach Exodus. And again, turning to Exodus chapter 29, we come now to a point in our Bible's history where Israel is wandering in the wilderness. And yet this desire for God to be with his people remains, and the purpose for us to be with him is all the same. And we read there at the end of chapter 29, when the priests are being consecrated, how it says here in verse 45, "I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them, for I am the Lord their God." Again, here we see the progress of this theme. We've come from the garden where initially we were meant to be dwelling with him forever and ever, but that has been broken by our sin. And yet here God is now making a new way, or making a way by which we might be with him through the tent, the tabernacle, the place of meeting. Moses was delivered instructions on how to build this tent where God and his people might meet. The tent itself was placed in the middle of the tribes of Israel, so that it was God literally, his presence was in the midst of them. But of course, to approach, to enter, to come near, to overcome that separation, it required priests and it required sacrifice to be offered. And then as we move further forward in our Bibles, we come to our passage, Isaiah 7:14, that was quoted by Matthew. The time of that passage is a dark one. We move a few more thousand years of history through, or a few hundred more thousand, or hundred more years of history to a time when the kingdom of Judah is being attacked by the kingdom of Israel and Syria. It's a dark time. And this word of promise, of prophecy, comes to Israel, or comes to Judah rather. that there shall be born a son, and that his name shall be Emmanuel. It is a sign of salvation. It is a sign that God shall save his people. And again, we pick up on this theme of God being with us, of God being with Israel, of God being with his people. And so when Scripture falls silent at the end of our Old Testament, 400 years of silence pass, and we arrive in Matthew. And Matthew opens up, and we come to those words that we have read just before, where we see how the angel comes to Joseph and makes that statement that all this took place to fulfill the prophets, or to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. This good news, this news comes out of a long, long history. This message comes out, comes to a people primed, ready, expectant, and anticipating God's presence, or God to come as a rescuer. God to come as a rescuing king, really. Obviously, how it turned out to or panned out in slightly less of a glorious way as they might have expected. He didn't come and overthrow the Romans, but he did come to do something far greater, of course. That's our second reason there, that he came and he was named Jesus, for he was to save his people from their sins. We maybe sometimes can miss or forget the magnitude of this moment, but I think we all are very easy. We very easily remember the fact that Jesus came to die on a cross. But it comes out of such a long history. But he comes to save his people, and we come here to remember that tonight as we take the bread and the wine. We remember it, that although Jesus came and was born in a manger, he came as a babe. He came for a purpose. He came to save, and he came to save through the cross. It would only be around 30 years later that he would be hung up and lifted, that he would be killed and crucified to overcome that separation. He was born at a time of distress, much like the prophecy given in the time of Isaiah, and he came as a sign of salvation. And his salvation came to overcome that cost of separation. It came just as in Exodus we have the sacrifice, so too then we have the sacrifice of Christ that overcomes that distance and allows us to come back close to God. We have God with us, Emmanuel, so that we might become close to God. We might come near to God. And from there we move forward, and we can even look further forward. This idea of God being with us is not finished in the sense that we've read here. It's not just that God has come and been born and that is it, fulfilled completely, but there's a fuller sense yet to come. When we take the bread and the wine, we do so until he comes again. That's when we've read from Revelation, and we look to the very end of our Bibles. We see a beautiful scene where man shall be with God forever. If we were to turn back there to the end of our Bibles, in chapter 21, we read in verse 3, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And then it goes on to say, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." This is the truth of Emmanuel, God being with us. It is so much greater. It is so much more magnificent than sometimes we comprehend, or we come to, or we think. It started off at the very beginning, and it ends with us at the very end of our scripture. Our Bibles, rather, sorry. And we can see here how we are longing for that. We wait in hope for this to come. When he comes again, this is what we are waiting for God to be with us, and for we to be with him forever. I think hopefully as we come and eat, especially at this Christmas time, as we come to the bread and the wine, we might remember that beautiful word, or that beautiful name, Emmanuel, that God came to be with us, to fulfill the prophets, to fulfill the prophet Isaiah, but to fulfill all of Scripture. But that as we eat and drink tonight, that we might be able also to do so looking forward to that time when we will be with God eternally. That hopefully, those are some of the thoughts I had to share on that, and hopefully that will help us as we eat together and remember him until he comes. So thank you.